Wow. Okay. Greetings, everyone. Praise God. Good to see everyone. Full house tonight. Good to see everybody, all those who are online. Thank you for being here with us. And before we go any further, we should pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for what you're doing now, Lord God, for your mercy, your grace, and your truth. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in the hearts of all those precious saints. Lord God, our dear friends that are online. And all those dear and precious people that are right here with us tonight. Lord God, I pray that you would lead, guide, and direct the service by thy Holy Spirit. That you would take over, Lord God. That you would touch people, lead people, guide them. Show us and reveal your word. Open that up to our hearts, Lord God, that we might see and hear and understand with our hearts.
Oh, Jesus.
We pray, Lord God, for your anointing. We pray, Lord God, for that faith, not only to hear, not only to receive, but to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, under the blood, we pray. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, amen. Well, we want to say, first of all, that say thank you for all those people that have been bringing pears and apples and tomatoes and all these things that people are bringing. And for whoever might be online that might be listening that isn't here tonight, and for all those that have been gracious here to bring things, just want to say thank you. It's awfully kind and generous. And I guess Shirley's going to make downstairs, she's going to start canning some pears. I know Sandy...
Borgenhagen?
Yeah. Sandy Borgenhagen. I knew that. Didn't I? I knew that name. Once. Yeah, but I had her... Yeah. So, they brought two bushels of pears, and Shirley's going to start working on canning those downstairs in the church basement. That's going to be kind of neat. And that's going to be a lot of good pears, good for a lot of different things. But anyways, we should probably start out by praising and worshiping and giving all to the Lord. Amen. Why don't we just start out with... number 83 in the chorus book, From the Rising of the Sun. I know we haven't sung that in quite a while, and just want to encourage people to don't give up on your prayers. Don't get too busy to where you won't spend time praying and seeking God's face every day. And I know that people are very busy these days, aren't they? Life happens. Things happen. The days are shorter. But yet we must take advantage in spite of that to fight for that time to pray and get in close with the Lord while there's still time. Amen. And why don't we just go ahead and sing that tonight. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going.
weighing down thereof. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. I praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God in heaven.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Well, you know, there's another one in the chorus. I know that I want to get to the hymn book yet, but there is another song here in the chorus that I'm feeling led to go to again. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. And that's the number 95 in the chorus. And you know, I know Shirley's probably going to tell that story, so I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to say it for her. But the Lord knows how to answer prayer. She's probably going to make mention of what happened the other day. Or was that today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. Okay, praise God. And, you know, when you're faithful to the Lord and when you walk in the Spirit of God every day, when you walk in the victory, and you walk by the leading of the Holy Ghost, the Lord is always going to bring situations and circumstances your way, because God can use people that walk with Him. God can and will use people who are sold out to Him, who are completely, completely sold out in prayer and living for God. How many people can you find in your life and your sphere of influence that are truly faithful, that you know about, that are truly faithful? God uses those who are faithful. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
God will always use those that He can trust and count on.
Praise the Lord.
And he's an answering God, and I say that because there are many testimonies that will come forth, and one that I know Shirley is going to be able to share tonight. And I tell you, I get excited every time I hear a testimony like that. It's a wonderful thing. People are reaching out for answers. Churches are dead. People are scattered, faithless, hopeless, much the way it was in the days of Nehemiah. When there was a great breach, there was treachery everywhere. The enemies surrounded the people of God, and they were on the hillsides, scattered, homeless, faithless, demoralized. No fight in them until Nehemiah came, rolled up his sleeves and went to work. Saw the great need, much the way Jonathan did the same thing. Oh, we'll be getting to that on Sunday. But I praise God for people who know how to roll up their sleeves and go to work for God. One who the Lord will never forsake his people if they will just cry out to him, reach out to him, humble themselves. So, let's go there and sing that with that in mind. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. I pray, Jesus, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. One more time. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. He is an answering God. Amen. I know it from experience. There is a song I kind of hoping that we can go to here in the hymn book. Or is it this one? Actually it's number 9. I mean, Oh, to be like thee. Is it not in this book yet, Melodies of Praise?
Oh, it is. Yes, 42.
Okay, Jane, thank you. 42 in the hymn book. That's the one I was kind of thinking about earlier today, as a matter of fact. Number 42. Oh, to be like thee. If we could go there in the hymn book and sing that. You know, when I was younger, I grew up Catholic, and I remember how that I would often think about how when I would go and walk the streets, and I was young, you know, I was mischievous, did a lot of things. But the Lord put tracks in front of me. Wherever I would go, I would find tracks on the road. I would pick them up and I would read them. I must have been around 8 or 9 years old. And I remember reading those tracks, and I would say, hey, I want to be like that. I want that one day. And it would just stir in my heart. I want to have a relationship with God. And, and it happened. Oh, to be like thee, though, however. To be the image of Christ. To be a true disciple. A true Christian. It's a work in progress as long as we're on this earth. Nobody ever arrives. But we strive to enter in at the straight gate. We contend for the faith. Strive for the mastery. Amen? To be like Christ.
Praise you, Lord.
To be like Him. Whenever God begins to use somebody, He's going to put them through a major test. Their faith is going to be tried. And you will be going through the fire. I can say that because I've been through the fire. I've been through the ringer many times in my life. And I'm sure I've got some ahead of me. I'm sure. But my desire, as I'm sure it is for each one of you, and for all those who are online, as it is for Sister Shirley, for Brother Sam up there, I can't see him now. He's up there somewhere hiding. But to be like Christ. Amen? To learn of Him. To grow in that grace. Because we all want that one day to come when the Lord would welcome us and say, well done. Amen? To hear those words. Because there is no other place that matters. My goal in life is to be like Christ and to get to heaven. That's my goal.
Amen. Praise the
Lord. I don't care about a career. I don't care about making a ton of money. I don't make a lot of money here, I can tell you. I used to make a lot of money. But I didn't come here to make a lot of money. I came here to serve God. And I came here to learn and grow. And I know that many people wouldn't still be showing up here if they didn't want or feel the same way. I'm quite certain of that. So we all, however, have a long way to go, especially me. I'm probably, more than anybody here, I'm probably the least. And boy, do I have a long way to go. And why don't we just all just go to that song now and sing that as a prayer. Oh, to be like thee.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all the earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping and helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking and wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit filled with love. Make me a temple meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life in heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Oh, to be like thee, amen. Praise God. It's kind of a long-winded song. But praise God anyways. Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God.
Well, we'll take up our tithes and offerings, I guess. And anybody have anything that they want to share? Feel free to raise your hand. Amen. Testimony, edification, comfort. And anything else that you might want to share, just raise your hand. Sister? No.
He had some more tests, and it looks like the cancer in his throat might be coming back.
So okay.
He's got to have it retested in 6 weeks.
Okay.
So I'd like to not be there in 6 weeks.
Yeah, amen. Well, let me ask you a question now. Jack, how old is he?
I think he's 69.
69, that's your older brother? Is he receptive to hearing the gospel?
I don't think so at this point, so he does need the Lord,
absolutely. He's a lot like his dad, right?
Yeah. Well, that's his stepdad.
His stepdad, okay.
But also, it's like brought it on himself because he didn't quit smoking either.
Sure.
So he needs to get rid of that. He
sure.
needs to know the Lord. Yeah.
Okay, amen. Well, you know, God can do anything, can't he?
Oh, amen.
You know, he can change hearts. He can heal people. And why don't we just pray in agreement that the Lord would not only heal him and that thing wouldn't come back, but that his heart would be softened to receive the gospel. At the age of 69, you're kind of hanging in the balance. So I guess kind of we all are anyways. But why don't we just go ahead and pray in agreement and ask the Lord to do a work. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we bring Jack before you again, Lord God. And we right now would just like to agree in one accord by faith, believing, oh God, by faith, and trusting you, Lord, now to do a work in this man's life. That, Lord, not only that you would open his heart to receive, to hear, that you would reveal yourself to him, Lord God, but that he would also be receptive to hearing and understanding and knowing and receiving your word, Lord God, into his life. We pray, Lord, that you would knock down those barriers and walls right now. Let that all be bound and rebuked and cast down to the side, Lord God. That you would do a work right now in Jesus' name, we pray, under the blood. Let the devil be put down, put to flight. Oh, Lord God, we bind and break those strongholds right now in Jesus' name. Whatever they are, Lord God, that hardness of heart, whatever it is, we bind and break it in Jesus' name under the blood. Cast it down. Lord, that you would do a mighty miracle, Lord God, that you would come in and speak to that man. Oh, Lord God, reveal yourself to him. Show him his great need that he might fall upon his knees and repent and give his life unto thee, Lord God. Don't let it be too late for him, Lord, we pray. Also, Lord God, we want to bring up that situation in 6 months. Oh, Lord, if you continue to tarry, but even, Lord God, before that, you would do a work of healing in his life. But that, Lord, that he wouldn't take it for granted, but that he would look at that and, Lord, that he would see that without you, he could do nothing. Without your healing work, Lord, that we would all be lost and undone. Lord God, we pray that you would do a mighty work of healing now under the blood, applying the blood of Jesus to his life, applying the blood of Jesus to his body, Lord God, that bind and rebuke those cancer cells, whatever they might be, right now in Jesus' name. Let it be bound and rebuked. Let the devil take his hands off of his life, but that, Lord, you would get a hold of him too. That he would be receptive to hear with an understanding heart, Lord God, that he would soften his heart. But, oh, Lord God, only you can draw. And we pray that you would draw him. This we pray in agreement, one accord, by faith, in Jesus' name under the blood. Amen. Praise God. Okay, we'll go ahead and take up the tithes. Thank you, Lord God, for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. I pray, O Lord, that you would multiply it and bless it and bless the giver. Multiply it unto them, O Lord God. Lead, guide, and direct. We pray, O Lord God, that you would continue to bless the monies that come in, Lord God, that we would be good stewards, faithful and true and just, and how that we handle everything, O Lord God, that comes in. Meet to do a work for thee, Lord God, by faith, for your glory. In Jesus' name, under the blood, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Shirley?
Praise the Lord. Get this right, maybe. Okay, praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. I'm glad to see everybody here tonight. So glad Sue and Bill are with us. It's been really special to have them. I know they were in the audience online for a long time, and now they're here sitting in the pew. That's really special. Of course, I'm glad Diane's here, and Jane and Anna, and Brother Tim, and Sam is upstairs, and thank God for all of that. But here we are, and I'm thankful God is here. God is here among his people. Praise the Lord, and so thankful for everybody online. The Lord be with you and bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another opportunity, Lord, that you've given us. We thank you, O Lord, O God, that we can stand in your promises, Lord, that we can rest in them, Lord. You've given us your word. God, that lamp unto our feet, O Lord, that light unto our path, Lord Jesus, we thank you for it. O God, we thank you for these opportunities, Lord. They're golden, Lord. You give us these opportunities to serve you and to glean from your word, Lord. And I just pray that you'd be here, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd bind, oh, Lord, any hindrances, Lord, any hindering spirits, anything that would come against us, Lord, to oppose us. Oh, God, give us ears to hear. Oh, God, eyes to see, mind to perceive, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, give us an eagerness. Oh, Lord, a desire, a zeal for thee, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we need you here tonight, Lord. And, oh, God, we pray that you would be here to bind everything that would be contrary, Lord. Oh, God, let your word go forth. Oh, God, give us that boldness. Give us that desire. Oh, God, give us that zeal for you, Lord. We need you here, Lord Jesus. God, oh, Lord, let your word have free course here. We give it to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, thanking you for such an opportunity and moment, Lord. Oh, God, in your precious holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. We're going to begin here by going to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, for a few verses. I'm going to call this message, For the Perfecting of the Saints. Thank you. For the Perfecting of the Saints. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1 here. And we'll begin with verse 18 here. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And then it goes in verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. And let's just look over in my Bible, it's just the next page here, to the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, and read the first few verses here in that chapter. Paul's writing, and he says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Praise the Lord. And now, going to go over to Romans, the 10th chapter. Let's just start with the 9th verse here in Romans 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to stop here with this reading here and just going to comment. I'm just so glad that the Lord has included all of us in the plan of salvation, that he isn't, it isn't one particular gender of persons, or it isn't one particular nationality or breed or race, any of that, but it's all that confess shall be saved. And I'm so glad the Lord has given us an opportunity that we can believe. So many people aren't touched by the Lord. He doesn't seem to touch their hearts, or they don't reach out and claim his promises. But the Lord has given us here opportunity tonight. And it's a wonderful privilege. It's a wonderful thing that we can come before the Lord knowing that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all. Isn't that beautiful? That call upon him. It's really a beautiful thing. And then it goes on telling us, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I sometimes do think of this scripture. It's also, of course, in Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. These verses are also there. And Nahum, the first chapter also, is very similar there. That first chapter, verse 15. But I do remember a night, quite a few years ago now, when we were just standing there in the church, and it was a challenge. I'm not sure if we had a missionary there at that service that night or just all, but you could feel the Lord just calling at our hearts. And I just remember we came up front to rededicate our lives to the Lord, and I just could feel the Lord just tugging at me just in such a remarkable way. And I just felt like he was calling me to work for him. I could just feel that, just of a truth, just without any doubt. And I remember I went home that night and asked the Lord to show me in Scripture. And this is where he brought me. He brought me to Romans, the 10th chapter, and that 14th and 15th verse. And that's been a part of me. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Lord Jesus came on earth to bring us salvation. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. This world was without hope. It didn't have a Savior. It was on the collision course, and people didn't have that hope of the everlasting gospel at that point. But Jesus came that we might be saved, that we might have everlasting life. And then he made a way that not only did he present it, but then he put it in the hearts of his people. He sent the Holy Ghost forth so that we could be witnesses in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Praise the Lord, that we could go forth and declare the mighty works of God. And the same works that He did, we can do also. Because He lives in our hearts and He comes to dwell. He comes to change us and make us His own children. Oh, praise the Lord. And what a wonderful privilege. But just reading two more verses here in this chapter, verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, or saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, we are so privileged to have this book and to be able to open it. So many don't have this opportunity, and how can they hear? Except there be a preacher. How can he preach except he be sent? It's such a thing. We have an obligation to this world. And, you know, I often marvel at what Paul did in his lifetime. He had such a zeal for the Lord. The Lord had put so much inside of him. And he had an outstanding understanding that he was able to expound things from the Old Testament. You go through the book of Hebrews, for example, and it's like it's peace by peace, scripture from the Old Covenant, from the Old Testament. He had that understanding. He just kind of knit it all together so that we could understand the works of God. And, you know, the Lord used that man, but he had such a zeal. And, you know, we read that all the known world heard the gospel through him. You know, in those times, without telephones, without airplanes, without cars, all these modern conveniences that we seemingly have these days, Paul preached the gospel, and they heard. The people heard. That sound went out through the earth, and they heard it. He preached the gospel. The Lord used him in such a wonderful way. But here we are. We have that same obligation. There's still a world out there that needs salvation, that needs the Lord, and here we are tonight. God's given us so much. To whom much is given, much is required. If He put that in our hearts, oh, if He's given us much, then there's a lot required of us also to share and to embrace and to give out. It's within us. And we must do it. We must do the works of God. He's called us for such a plan and such a purpose and for such a time as this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 2 Peter. I'm going to be in 2 Peter for a while. Let's go to 2 Peter and the second chapter. I'm going to begin by just reading this portion of Scripture here. Verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I'm going to stop here and go over these scriptures here. Here's Peter. He's telling us that there were false prophets among the people, and here he's speaking of old Israel, I do believe. And of course we know all they that were of Israel were not Israel. There were a lot of people that called themselves Jews, for example, that were not Jew in heart. They were not committed to God. They did not have that in their heart to serve the Lord. They weren't true. And of course we know even when Israel went out of Egypt that there were those that were that just came along, say, for the ride. And they weren't genuine. They weren't true. They were false prophets. And they caused problems. They were hindrances as time went on. They caused the Israelites to snare and be hung up, and to fall into traps, and to lose out. So there were false prophets back then, among the people, just living among them, looking probably like the rest, and you know, maybe even talking like the rest, but deep in their heart, there was something else that wasn't right. And it caused division, it caused stirs, it caused problems. And Peter is telling us, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So he's warning that that was going to be the case also in the New Covenant Church too, that there were going to be false teachers even among them. And it says, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You know, wow, that's just really something. You can't deny the Lord and be a Christian. You really can't. That's the premise of the gospel. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have to know that he was he that should come into the world. And unless you believe, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. It was that important. You had to realize that Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one that was to come forth. He was God of the Old Testament that appeared unto Moses. He was the I am. And there he was on the scene, but how many people recognized him? How many people knew who he was? You know, not very many at all. And he told them straight to their face, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. It's absolutely essential that we profess the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read there in Romans, that 10th chapter, we have to profess with our mouth that Jesus is the Christ. And if we profess him before men, then he will profess us before God. But if we deny him before men, he's going to deny us also, and before the heavenly angels also. It's so essential. We have to stand up for the Lord and be fast and be firm and be dedicated and not wavering. We've got to know that he is Lord. But here's this warning that there were going to be false teachers among the Christians who would bring in damnable heresies, things that weren't based on the doctrine. Oh, we know there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And you know, you can't go beyond that. You can't extend that. You can't add to that. You can't subtract from that. We know from the book of Jude we are to contend for the faith. That means fight for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's essential. It's there's nothing, there's no substitute. There's not many roads that lead to Christ. There's only one way, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Praise the Lord. But here's a warning, and just turning to Acts for a minute. Paul also gave warning that after his decease that there were going to be grievous wolves that would enter into the flock. Let's just look at that. He was addressing the elders at Ephesus there as he was heading to Rome. And here it is. If we look at Acts, the 20th chapter here, it was rather a difficult time, I'm sure, because they were not sure they'd ever see him again. So here he's telling them in verse 27, here in Acts 20, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He could stand there with clean hands. He shared everything that was in his heart to share, to declare the whole counsel of God. And then he said in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, coming from among them, in other words. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Praise the Lord. So there he is. He's warning them that after his departure, grievous wolves would enter in among the flock there, right in the midst of them. And they were to beware. They were to take care. They were to watch. And to have that word of God deep inside so that they could discern. And he was warning the people there, those dear brethren there from the church of Ephesus. He had spent so much time there, space of 3 years, warning them day and night. And now he knew perhaps this was the last time that he would see them. And he was giving them his best and telling them to watch, to be careful, to be zealous, to hide the word of God in their hearts. But here Peter also, back in 2 Peter, is speaking likewise, telling them that there would be false teachers among them who privately would bring in damnable heresies, false doctrines, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And then, sadly, verse 2 says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, their wicked ways. Many would follow those ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Oh my, there are so many deceivers in this world. Right now it is so hard to find truth. We hear that cry all the time. Where do I find truth? If you have ears to hear and eyes to see. Often you can't find truth among other people. I was just thinking of one particular example as I was studying today, and this man, C.S. Lewis, you find his writings frequently in churches. People use his writings for sermons or for Sunday school lessons. It's not uncommon. In seminaries, they also speak of this individual. And you can go into a so-called Christian bookstore and find his stuff. But you know what? Oh, boy. It's a horrible thing. It really is. He rejected Old Testament miracles. He didn't believe that God's word was inerrant, that it was inspired. He didn't believe the account of the creation. He counted it as a myth. He thought the story of Jonah was a myth and other stories from the Old Testament. That's how he counted them. He thought you could belong to Christ and be a Buddhist. And you know what else? He believed in purgatory. And he didn't believe that there was a literal eternal hell either. He also believed in evolution. And he believed that man was a primate and an animal. You know, I just think that's so shameful. I remember when my oldest son was little, he would get so disgusted if somebody would call him an animal. That was a teaching in the schools. They considered, you know, the humans to be a species of animals, and he didn't like that at all, and he'd speak out with that. And I just always thought that was neat. It didn't go into homeschooling. I think Nate was in third grade when I began homeschooling him, but. Anyway, that was something that was really deep in him as a little boy, that we were not animals. We were human life that God had created and separate and distinguished from animals. And he would tell people, praise the Lord. But C.S. Lewis had that thinking, and he didn't think there was any difference much between pagan myths and the Holy Scripture. That's how he esteemed it. And what a terrible shame that his writings would be used as seminaries. Oh my, what a terrible shame. He wrote books like Mere Christianity with no scripture at all in it at all. No scriptures at all. And he wrote a book about reflection on the Psalms and miracles. And he described the Psalms as being devilish, terrible, contemptible. I mean, here's a man that is esteemed as Christian. But what a pity. He brought in damnable heresies. He was a heretic in reality. But yet, these days, who has discernment? Who knows what he was really teaching? People esteem him and use his writings in Christian so-called churches. Oh, dear Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Oh my, and here's this warning. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. and getting a little closer to home, actually, here. I just recently, I know Brother Tim was talking to a certain individual, and he made comments like he didn't like the way things were going here in this church, that we're not doctrinally sound, that we're going in the wrong direction, that we're too legalistic and too Pentecostal. And oh my, I'll tell you what, I don't like that at all. I'm yearning. I think we need to see the fires of Pentecost working in our hearts. I'm looking for that day when the fire of Pentecost is going to fall upon us. Oh, when I'll see hands in the air praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. It's been way too long since I've seen another individual come to the Lord and receive the Holy Ghost. It's been way too long. Amen. And we need that Pentecost. Oh, wow, we need the truth of God's Word. We need the sound doctrine. We are teaching the same doctrine that the Lord has put in His Word. We haven't deviated from it. The Lord has shown us much truth. It's very valuable. It's very precious. We are to buy the truth and sell it not. If we don't value it, the Lord will give us over. He will give us over, and we'll lose that ability to discern what's right and what's wrong. It's so important to acknowledge truth and to hide it in our heart, to love it. It's that pearl of great price. It's worth everything to know the truth. It sets us free. And we need it. We need it. Like nothing else, these are the times when nothing else will do. There's no other plan. There's no other salvation. There's only one salvation that was delivered to the saints. Only one faith that was delivered to the saints. And we are to contend. We are to fight for it. It's of great value. Oh, praise the Lord. We sure do need another Pentecost. We sure do need it. We need those signs following them that believe. We need to see hands laid on the sick and them recovering. Amen. We need to see that. We need to see the casting out of demonic spirits. Amen. We need to see and hear people speaking with new tongues. Amen. We need all those gifts of the Spirit. We need them like never before. God is coming for a people that are zealous of good works. He's coming for a people that have something to show Him. He's coming for a people that have kept the truth in their heart and have not betrayed Him, but have it in their heart. Oh, praise the Lord. He's coming for a people that are faithful, that are stewards, that are watching and waiting. No matter what watch our Lord comes, they're waiting, they're watching, they're doing the will of their Father. They're zealous of good works. Praise the Lord. I did have quite an opportunity yesterday. I think most of you probably know Don and John there in Michigan. They came 4th of July, actually, and we had the privilege of praying with them for a while. And I know Dawn for a long time has been so desirous that her mother would receive salvation and that she would be baptized in the name of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost. And usually when I come over here to the office or next door to the office, I look at my emails usually first. I might note to see if there's any messages on my phone, and then just probably turn on the computer and just see if I've got any new emails. And yesterday there was one from Dawn, and oh my, it really changed my day, because her precious 92-year-old mother obviously sounded like she was dying. Her blood pressure, her oxygen level, rather, was lower than they'd ever seen anybody's. And they honestly didn't know if she was going to make it. And, of course, I then tried to get a hold of Dawn, and it took a little doing, and she got back to me. And she had asked if I would pray with her mother, because you know, like I said, Dawn, oh my, she's always wanted to see her mother saved. We've spoken of that many times. We've talked about going to Michigan and spending time with them, actually, just in hopes that her mother would be baptized in the name of Jesus. And so I know that's been heavy on Dawn's heart. And so we were talking together, and she asked me to pray with her mother. And at first, her mom wasn't ready to pray, she said. She was on a drug and didn't feel like she was quite in her mind, and thought, you know, maybe if she waited, you know, she'd be a little clearer. So anyway, waited a little bit, and then it looked like it was getting pretty rough as the day went on. It was this was early evening, as I recall. And actually, yeah, just come into the house, and there was a message from Dawn. She had just called her back, and her mom wasn't doing well at all. Her mom was really just, you know, it sounded like she was dying. So anyway, of course I called, and she asked me to call the room, and she put me on speakerphone, and I was praying with her mom, and it didn't really seem like, I couldn't really tell anything much was happening, you know. It just didn't really feel like much was happening. I went through the prayer and things that, you know, the Lord put in my heart, and it just didn't, you know, really feel quite fulfilling, you know, like things were accomplished like I was hoping. So phone call ended, and then I just went into prayer. I went into the other room, and I just started praying, and I prayed in tongues for quite a while. And then there was another phone call from Dawn, and it was so amazing because the Lord had worked, and her mom, it had all changed. They had put her mom on morphine, and obviously that hadn't done well by her and all. And but just a few minutes later, after that prayer and everything, it was changed, and I was able to talk to her mother again. And wow, this time she was coherent, and she was able to talk, and she was saying things like, she said, "Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, come into my heart." And you know, it was just really something. I just had this wonderful opportunity to pray with her, and see that wonderful change come on her life. And just such a joyous moment. Dawn was there on the speakerphone, and just, you know, we just had to just praise the Lord and thank God. But, you know, it's amazing what God will do when you just really reach out, and, you know, what a difference prayer can make. What a wonderful thing intercession is when we can go before the Lord. And a lot of times I do pray in tongues. The Lord just takes over. I don't know how to pray. It's beyond me. But we're able to give it to the Lord. And what a gift He has given us when He baptized us as a gift of the Holy Ghost. And we spake in tongues and glorified God. Wonderful, wonderful gift that He gave us when He put His Spirit in our heart so we could reach out and commune with the Lord. Oh my, so we could get through life's trials, and we could pray for things that, oh, you could feel in your heart something's not right, something is wrong, but we can bring it to the Lord and make intercession. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, what a gift He has given us. And I just thank the Lord that He gives us precious opportunities to pray with people. Oh, God is so good. I just thank the Lord. God, there's a lot of people out there. Sometimes they have to get to death's door to really get to that place where they can give their life to the Lord. But the Lord knows how. He knows how to deliver us and how to set us free and how to get us to that place. And you know, God puts people in our hearts. That's the Lord. There's a reason. There's that tug in our heart because there's a work that the Lord's trying to do, an opportunity that's been given, and I thank God for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But continuing here in 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse 3, And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Judgment will follow. Oh my, you don't get by with slamming the Lord. You don't get by speaking evil of the truth. It's not going to prevail. You're not going to have power with God. You're going to fall away if you even are trying to be a Christian. Again, you've got to love the truth. It's got to be in your heart. But here it talks about people, oh, that envy, that covetousness, those inside desires to make themselves look like something important, and vain, pretentious words, making merchandise of God's people. Oh, that's not good. It says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Oh, my. Yeah, it will follow. God has seen it all. He has heard it all. He knows it all. There is nothing hidden from God. And unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, he told us. Amen. And then it gives us examples here in this second chapter. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Oh my, here's three examples of God's judgment. First of all, the angels there, those that sinned, they were cast down to hell and delivered into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. That happened. And we know what happened with the flood. We know what happened with Noah. Here's Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. He preached to the people. He told them what to do. He told them to get right, to repent of their filthy, wicked deeds. But not one of them did. Not one of them did. And finally that moment came after years of preaching, years of warning. Finally that moment came when it was too late to take heed. And God shut that door. That door was shut. When God shuts a door, that opportunity is over. Thank God right now we have an open door. God is still calling. He is still working in hearts. Lives can still be changed. People can still repent. There's still an open door. But when God shuts it, it's too late. No man can open that door when God shuts it. And he shut that door on that ark. And no matter how desperate those people must have been, they could not get on that ark. God had shut that door. Eight persons in that ark, and that was that. And of course we know they were destroyed in that flood. And of course with Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's family had opportunity to escape. They obviously were very, very extremely wicked, as we know. And God wasn't going to tolerate it anymore. He came down to see what it was all about there. Oh, and we know how Abraham pleaded with God. If there would be 50 righteous people, would you spare the cities? If there be 45, if there be 40, if there be 30, if there be 20, if there be 10, Lord, will you spare those cities? But there were no 10. There were no 10 righteous people. Only Lot and his two daughters and wife, who looked back, were able to leave. They were the only ones. The others mocked and jeered and laughed and scoffed, thought it was a myth. But God delivered just a Lot. Oh, praise the Lord. There was one man, and they could not destroy that city until Lot was taken out. Oh, the mercies of God. The mercies of God for his people. That's how much he loves us. Such mercy that he has. And here he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. I think this world is pretty vexing right now. Sometimes it's pretty ugly to go out there and mingle with the world and see what the people are like, hear what they are like, look at their countenances and all the distortions on their body and the rings and jewels on their face and markings all over their flesh. I'll tell you what, God sees it all. He knows that, how that stirs our heart. And thank God he has pity on those that cry and sigh. Amen. Who have that deep inside. And it tells us that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Oh, our God sees it all. He knows all about it. Nothing is hidden from him at all. Oh my, and there's a time when his judgment falls. It will fall. You know, when that cup is full, when that last person has come to the Lord in repentance, he's going to put down the sickle. He's going to reap the earth. It's going to be over. It's going to be too late at that point to turn away from sin. It's going to be reaped. The Lord, the righteous judge, will do it. Amen. And then we're told the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Our God knows how to do all of that. He knows how to deliver us. And on the other hand, the ungodly, the unjust, they have a reservation. They're reserved for the lake of fire. They're reserved for that day of wrath. There's a set time. There's an appointment that they have to meet with Almighty God. And it will be too late when God pours out his wrath in his final judgment. But it goes on to tell us. It tells us how he knows how to deliver us and how to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But verse 10 tells us, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. The book of Jude goes along with these scriptures quite well. They're just hand in hand here. And there's just some interesting things that I noted as I was studying. You know, it talks about chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. That lust of uncleanness is discussed also, and I will be going to Jude briefly, but also Romans, the first chapter, describes that lust of uncleanness pretty well. I'm just looking at a verse or two here in that first chapter of Romans. If you look at verse 22 to start, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They tried to make God in their own image. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And it explains exactly Sodom and Gomorrah and much like what this world is like these days. But God gave them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's the description of what it's referring to here in 2 Peter. So, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. In other words, despise law and order, things that are good and right in the sight of God. It says, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Oh boy, I have enough time here, Lord. Okay, let's look also here at Jude for a moment here. Looking at verse 8-9, and this is just such a, this description is very equivalent here to that of 2 Peter. Looking at verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. There it tells us. That's the end. That's the judgment. And then, looking at verse 8, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. In other words, they speak evil of God's order. They despise God's order, his ways, his authority, his thinking, his people. And verse 9 says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. I often had thought about that verse there, about Michael contending with angel, or with the devil, rather. Michael was an archangel contending with the devil about the body of Moses. We know that Moses, of course, was adopted as Pharaoh's daughter's son, and raised as a prince there in the household of the Egyptians there. And, you know, there's things that obviously it was likened to a Masonic background in this case. He knew the ways of the Pharaohs, and he was trained, and he was in those kind of ordeals. And, of course, with Masonic background, they want to bury you if you happen to be a Mason in that apron, and that's extremely important. They claim the body. They come in after a service of a departed Mason and claim the body. The other Masons gather around to do such a thing, and here, obviously, the devil was disputing about the body of Moses. He felt like he had claims because of Moses' background in the so-called lodge of that time. But Michael, it says here, did not dare, in other words, bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee, the Lord rebuke thee. And I often thought about that. And today, as I was studying, there's something that dawned on me. Let's just go to Ezekiel for a moment, the 28th chapter. This chapter is that lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and of course that was Ezekiel 28. And here it is. It pertains to Lucifer, Satan, in other words. And of course, if we look at some of these verses. Verse 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the psalm, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. And here, verse 14, it says, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Oh my, but I noted, thou art the anointed cherub. He had been anointed. There's something else I want you to note in 1 Samuel, if we could go there for a moment. Something to take heed to. 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 6 is what I'm going to refer to. Here we have, we know that Saul became an enemy of David after a short time. That rivalrous spirit of jealousy and the spirit of God departed from Saul. And that envious spirit came upon Saul. And we know how he chased David. And it tells us here, they were following the Philistines, but they heard that David was in the wilderness of Engedi. And Saul was chasing David. He took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And it tells us in verse 3, he came to the sheep coats. By the way, there was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And amazingly, David and his men were in that cave too. They were along the sides of the cave. They were all in there, though Saul didn't know that. And it was an amazing thing because the men that were with David said, "Wow, oh, the Lord's given you Saul. He's there. You can now deliver your enemy. You can be delivered from your enemy." And so they urged him to kill Saul at that moment. He had what seemed like the perfect opportunity to kill his enemy. But David arose, looking at the latter part of verse 4, and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And then verse 5 tells us, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And of course, we know the amazing story that he cried after Saul had left and all. But the point I want to make right now is, it even smote David's heart that he had cut off part of his robe, his garment. But he could not touch him. He feared the Lord because Saul was God's anointed. He had been anointed of the Lord. And even the devil had at one point been the anointed cherub. And I couldn't help but think of that there as I was reading there in Jude, why Michael, the archangel, when he was contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. Let the Lord do the work. But he himself did not bring a railing accusation against him. He had been anointed. That anointing that comes from the Lord. And Saul had been anointed king, even though he left the Lord and even God left Saul. But yet David feared because he had been anointed of the Lord. He had been anointed of the Lord. If we go to 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, and also Psalms, the 105th chapter, is very similar. But turning to 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. Looking at verse 19, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. There's an importance here with being the anointed. God's children of Israel were God's people. They were his special, peculiar treasure. He would not suffer others to touch them as long as their heart was right with God. And he reproved kings for their sakes. Much to go into if he had time, but he said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Of course, Zechariah 2:8, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. And then an interesting portion of scripture in Exodus 22. We can go there. One little verse, verse 28. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Interesting verse. Revile meaning curse the gods. Gods comes from the word Elohim, and it also can refer to judges. And it says, nor curse the ruler of thy people. And of course, old Israel was put under the authority of Moses. They were a theocracy. In other words, they were to be under God's rule. But Moses was chosen to lead them out of Egypt and to lead them through the wilderness. And they were under God. And it was extremely important that they revere him and esteem him properly. Here they were told not to revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. In Numbers, the 12th chapter, just going over this for lack of a lot of time here, there were some mumblings there as they were going through the wilderness because Moses had married an Ethiopian woman and his own sister Miriam and his brother Aaron spoke against this because they obviously didn't think it was right for whatever reasons. And they spoke against Moses. And it was really something because God avenged Moses. It tells us he was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. God had heard their murmurings against Moses, and the Lord told Moses to call Aaron and Miriam there unto the tabernacle of the congregation. The three came down there, and the Lord came and spoke to them as a pillar of the cloud, and he stood in the door of the tabernacle, and he called Aaron and Miriam. They both came forth, and God reproved them severely because they had gone after his servant, Moses. Verse 6, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark sentences, not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold, wherewith then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And it says in verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And we know all at once Miriam was as white as snow. She became leprous. God would not have that attitude. It was not right. They were speaking against Moses. God was angry. He was upset. They were speaking against his servant Moses, and there were consequences. Thank God. They cried out. Moses cried out and intervened also, and God had mercy. Miriam was just shut out without the camp for 7 days, as a leper and then was able to be restored. But the point is, God judged them because of their attitude. When they came against Moses, God was extremely upset, and he judged that there were consequences. Let's also now go to the New Testament. Let's go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Here, of course, I believe it was Paul who's addressing the New Testament church here. Verse 17 here, in this 13th chapter, it reads, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So here is a warning, and here Paul is telling the Hebrew people that they needed to submit themselves to those that were over them spiritually and submit themselves because they watch for your souls. And it talks about an accountability that will be given. It says that they may do it with joy and not with grief. You know, you don't want that man of God to have to stand before God and have a lament and say, I warned that person, but they didn't hear me. I mean, it's not going to be good if there's that kind of accountability and it's gone unheeded. The warning hasn't been taken. It tells us here, obey them that have the rule over you. He's talking in the church here. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Of course, there's just other scriptures that tell us about God's plan and purpose there. The ordained elders in the church to watch over the saints. And you know, thank God the Lord called us to this city of Beaver Dam years ago, and this church was established. And here we are. Here we are today. By the grace of God, we still continue. God still allowed us. Many things have happened in the in-betweens. I've seen people come and go, come and go, come and go. So many dreadful, sad stories to tell. The Lord knows, but thank God there are people that the Lord has called that love truth, that love God's word, and that are willing to take heed and do the things that matter. There's so many warnings in God's word, and often we have gone to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, but one more time here, as Paul was admonishing Timothy, verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. With all longsuffering and doctrine. These days, doctrine isn't a very nice word to so many. People think they don't need doctrine. They just want to do things their own way and not heed the word of God. And it tells us in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Oh my. We just see that so often, C.S. Lewis and all the things that he has written. If you study his works, you find out he was not a Christian, yet esteemed as such. And people like him who take God's word like it was a myth or a fable and don't take it as the word of God that was given for our admonishment, for our needs for sound doctrine's sake. In other words, they'd rather turn their ears away and listen to something that's easier, something that's easier to bear, because they have itching ears. Just tell me the way I want to hear it. Oh my, that is such a case in so many instances. But the Lord has ordained his plan and his program, and God doesn't change. We know Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. People change. They expect us to change with the times sometimes, it seems like. Just like fashions change, and boy, you've got to watch them too, because, oh boy, usually they're not godly. With those changes, I mean, when the skirts got longer, I thought, wow, that was really a wonderful change there in the world of fashion. There for a little while, the skirts got longer, and what a neat thing, but, you know, it didn't take too long, and they started putting slits in the skirts, and so, oh boy, I kind of made them not so nice anymore. But that's the way it is with this world. They go from one thing to the other, and most of the thinking out there is not sound. It's not right. It's not godly. It doesn't pertain unto righteousness. It'll send you to hell if you listen to it. But praise the Lord, I know there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but and thereof are the ways of death. People want to do it their own way. There, in the time of the judges, it was a sad time then too, because as long as there was a righteous judge to lead them, the people did all right, and they were avenged of their enemies. But then they would fall into sin. They would fall into the ways of the pagans. They would follow after the other people. They were soon doing what everybody else was doing, and that's the way of it. If people don't give heed to the gospel, if they don't have that spirit of submission and willingness to yield to the plan of God and to the ways of God, they fall into condemnation. Let's also go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. The Lord puts all things together. We know that there's that spirit that despises government. That's God's law and God's order, God's ways, God's servants, God's ministers, presumptuous, self-willed, not afraid to speak evil of dignities, of God's ways, of God's ministers. But God has an order. Let's look at Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Looking at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Oh my, there's those people that creep in unaware, trying to take advantage of those that have been redeemed even, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Oh, God's plan. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and the reason being for the perfecting of the saints, that we might come to the fullness of Christ. therefore the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, so that we might grow together, it says, come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto that maturity in Christ, so we can fulfill the plan of God. The Lord put it all together. He made provisions so that we could all work together, be brothers and sisters of the Lord, but then he gave us those that would lead to show and to guide and direct, that would watch for our souls, that would have that in their heart, shepherds that are called by the Lord, that honor the Lord, that love the people. And so here it is. The Lord, that is his plan. That's how he put it together. He gave some. Some are called to be apostles, to sent forth, to bring the gospel here and there. Some prophets to declare and bring forth utterances, evangelists to go forth also. And then some to stay at home and preach the word, pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith. God does not want us to have division. We are to mark them that bring forth discord. We are here. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's only one plan. You know, you can't just go your own way and expect to be right. We have to declare what the Word of God says. We've got to come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. What's recorded in this Word, in the pages of this book, it's going to be so important. We're going to stand before God one of these days and give an account of our life. And it's going to be so important that we took heed. Oh my, that we took heed. Lord, in his goodness, has a plan that we might become unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, to be like Jesus. So praise the Lord. So many people are out there without anybody to lead and guide them. It's a world like that right now. But thank the Lord, God still has a people. He still has a remnant. He still called us. And he, you know what? He hasn't left us without hope here. We have people that oversee this church, and I thank God for that. The Lord sent Brother Tim here, and Samuel is up there, and he too does a work for the Lord. And myself, the Lord called me here long ago too, and you know, here we are. And I thank God for his provisions. It's a perfect plan. When we submit to the Lord and do the things according to his will and his ways, it'll all work out for our good. As I said, we're all going to stand before God, and you know, those that watch for your souls and must give an account, that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his plan, that he made a way for the perfecting of the saints, that we could all come to that unity, that we could all be in agreeance, that we could have accord and work together for the plan and purpose of God, for the kingdom of God, for fulfillment of his will, for his plan and purpose, so that others can come to Jesus and be saved. Oh boy, if there's division and discord, the devil will take advantage of that. There will be no solidness, no solid foundation. It easily is destroyed, for we have an adversary who works hard to destroy everything that the Lord has put forth. But thank the Lord, we can take heed, and we can be the children of the Lord. Oh my, and the Lord has made a way that we can grow together for the unifying of the body of Christ and the perfecting of the saints. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Shirley. Praise God. Amen. A wonderful teaching and sermon. And boy, we do need to be ready, don't we? The end's upon us, and we need to be found watching and waiting on the Lord. Amen. Watching and waiting. You know, nothing has to happen because the Lord could come back tonight. And, hey, are we going to be ready? Wow. Searching question. Here we go. We could go to number 90, or I'm sorry, 85. Give me oil for my lamp. You know, I know we sing that a lot, but how true it is, how much we need the Holy Ghost to keep us, quicken us, reveal to us, and to cause us to search our hearts every day, so that we'll be found ready. And I don't think that could ever be overstated. Ever. And unfortunately, we live in a human body, this carcass. Human nature tends to forget. And humans need to be reminded, much like sheep. Sheep are pretty dumb, aren't they? They go wandering off and they don't know how to get back. The Lord calls His people sheep. And it's pretty humbling, but it's so true. And that's why we need a shepherd. A shepherd filled with the Spirit of God. We need the Lord Jesus. We need the Holy Ghost every day. So, why don't we sing this as a prayer? How much we need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Praise God. Be dismissed unto prayer. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you. GMO.
They do.
Yeah.
That's why they have a lot of cancer.
Really?